Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I wanted to spend a little bit of time trying to explain to the children what vanity means, because when I was growing up, we used to translate this meaninglessness. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. That's how I was taught this. And I kind of like that definition better than vanity. And the reason that this was taught to us was that the king, King Solomon, the king of Israel, the greatest king, really wanted people to understand what is of the utmost importance. He wanted people to understand that what we strive after in life is like chasing the wind. At the end of life, it's pointless. You heard Mrs. Cobb Nancy share the whole reading. I'm not going to go through the whole reading, but you heard what he said when he looked at his kids. He said, I work so hard with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and hard work to prepare this kingdom, and now I got to turn over to them. That's basically what you hear when you look at this text. Because we have no power over who comes after us. We have no power over how they're going to use what we have put so much work into. And if you really were to define the first chapter and the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, Koheleth, who actually, I like the translation of that word as teacher rather than preacher, but that's just my preference. Koheleth, who writes the book of Ecclesiastes, who says he's the king of Israel, who I believe is King Solomon, he talks about how much work we have in life, the trials we have in life, the planting and the reaping that we have in life, the things that happen in our regular life, and how we put so much work into all those things only to have to turn it over, only to have to end this life recognizing that we can't take it with us when we go. How many people, when you talk to people, how many people have you ever come across that you really wonder, do they think that there is going to be, like, you know how some people have Swiss accounts in Switzerland? They honestly think there's an account in heaven for them. At the way that they think, the way they operate, the way that they function, you almost think like they're working to have something when they go. When you look at archaeological sites and you see how they open up these tremendous sites in Egypt and other places where these great kings would take all this stuff with them. In China, they actually killed the servants and put them in with the body because so that they could serve the king or the ruler in the afterlife. I mean, this is how they thought. You know, they thought you could take a U-Haul with you, basically. You could put all the valuable things that you thought were of great value and you could take them with you. Well, we know from Scripture that you're not going to be able to take anything with you. The only thing that you have in life at the end is your breath. And that's why when they translated the English Standard Version, which is we're using the ESV, which Nancy read and which I read, when they translated vanity, I think that's why they chose vanity rather than meaninglessness, or to translate that word, was because I think they thought that that's kind of the currency of the age, isn't it? Pride or vanity. We take pride in what we've accumulated. We take pride in who we are. We take pride in the things of this world. And so vanity, I think they chose that rather than meaninglessness because it means that we have accumulated things and we have made value out of things that in the end don't really matter. We let our pride get in the way. We're the age of narcissism, and that's why pride is extremely, if you look at what is the number one sin in our nation, it's pride. It's pride, and when we see the destructiveness that's happening, I mean, my heart was broken yesterday over El Paso, and then I heard last night about Dayton. I mean, it's just everywhere you turn around and you think, what is going on with our world? Well, when you are the center of your universe, and when you are vanity, when your world only revolves around you and nobody else, and you're not happy with your life, you want to take as many people with you when you go. Just think about it from the perspective of the person who was shooting people in California. What did he say? Before he died, he said that he was angry. So because he's angry, everybody suffers, right? That's narcissism. That's vanity. It's all about me. I'm the center of everything. And it makes a lot of sense then when you hear what King Solomon is saying and what you heard what Jesus said, that we are to work towards helping people understand that what we have in this life, even though it's important that we be good stewards of what we have in this life, don't get me wrong. I don't want to say, you know, so many times when people have heard the sermon of the farmer who says, I'm going to get rid of all my barns and I'm going to build new barns and everything, they say, how terrible is he to accumulate such great wealth? Well, I am sorry. Wealth is not the issue here. Accumulation of wealth is not the issue here. What the issue is where you put your confidence, what you love. Because, you know, everybody seems to be, and maybe it's just what I'm hearing in the debates and stuff, is everybody seems to think that there's something evil about wealth. It's not wealth is not evil, but it's what you do with what you have. Now, wealth is all about money, but in the past, wealth has been about land. It's been about servants. It's been about things and it wasn't so much what you accumulated, it's what you did with the stuff that you accumulated that was the issue. And that's why St. Paul says it's the love of money. It's the love of that type of wealth. It's the love of things that give you a sense of confidence in this life rather than having your confidence in God. And so, brothers and sisters, my prayer is that when you hear this saying, vanity of vanities, that you recognize what Solomon is warning us is not to get so busy, because he says, and I applied my, he says, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. See what I said? He looked at his kids. He wasn't impressed. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. If I can tell you one thing that I learned from history is if someone hasn't worked for something, they don't value it as much as the person who has. Amen? I mean, King Solomon was a great man and had the gift of wisdom, but sometimes he says things and you go, yeah, duh. I mean, it's obvious. This is also vanity and a great evil. What is a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Brothers and sisters, we are in a time where people live for themselves. It just amazes me. Because they haven't been brought up that way. There's ever been a generation that knew what it was to give. The generation that's been leading us for a long time knew what it was to give. How many of them served? How many of them died? How many of them were willing to give their lives for freedom? How many of them were willing to put everything on the line for other people? And yet somehow, within a generation, we've gotten to a point where everything's about us. What makes us comfortable? What we like? What we don't like? We only do what we like. We don't do what we don't like. And so for King Solomon to give us these words are a reminder for us of what St. Paul was saying in Colossians 3. He was saying, He said, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. It is so easy to get mired in dealing with the things that are on earth, but there's freedom in letting go. There's freedom in letting go of these things. That's why Jesus told this parable. That's why Jesus wanted the people to understand that we don't know when our life's going to end. But we spend so much time working on this life. It's time we spend time, more time, preparing for the next, which is the life with God forever and eternity. The life that belongs to the King, to his kingdom people. Eternal life, the gift that our Lord gives to us. I have a few things that I wanted to share. In closing, I thought this was a very good saying. We often hear life is short, better enjoy it. How about looking at it from God's perspective? Eternity is long, better prepare for it. See the difference? Life is short, better enjoy it. That's true, isn't it? From the perspective of eternity, life is short. But how about eternity is long, better prepare for it? And I wanted to close with this saying, which I thought was really good. Augustine of Hippo said this, how sweet all at once it was for me to be rid of those fruitless joys which I had once feared to lose. You drive them from me. You who are the true, the sovereign joy, you drove them from me and took their place. O Lord, my God, my light, my wealth, and my salvation. That's what it means to recognize life is short and to know that eternity is long and prepare for it. Brothers and sisters, may we be people who don't end the life saying, well, everything was vanity, everything was meaningless, and we just strove or chased after wind. But let us leave this life saying we are prepared to spend eternity because we have spent time with the Lord. We have recognized his scripture as God breathed. We've spent time in it. We know it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We've spent time with the Lord in his word. We spent time with the Lord in prayer. We spent time with the Lord in his community, in his church. And we're ready for eternity. Are you ready for eternity? I hope you are. Because that's your inheritance, right? That's the gift that God has given to us. That's why he died on the cross and rose again, so we could have eternity with him. Life is short. And I think we can enjoy it. But eternity is long. And may we be prepared for it.